50208 Media.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome to Film Fracas, everyone.
You did it!
Yes!
Totally organic.
Yeah.
Not at all staged.
That was
tried to give
one
you a lot
for
of,
those listening back
yep,
home.
Tried to give you a lot of lead-ins.
100%.
Yeah.
It was mostly my fault. It's not Phoenix's fault.
I'm one of your hosts for this season, Phoenix Zarolo. Happy to see you guys here. And if I want to give myself one last spooky name, I think it'll be Phoenix.
The Ghost of River Phoenix Zarolo?
I don't like that one because I feel bad about Joaquin and his bro.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'll give myself the Baba Phoenix.
The Baba Phoenix? The Baba Phoenix.
Okay,
that makes
it stays.
Me so happy.
Yeah. Past Halloween.
I nailed it last
the Baba Phoenix.
All right, then to my left is another one of my hosts, Robbie De... Leatherface Dischaser.
I thought you were going to go, the Baba Robbie.
I thought about it.
Just give everybody.
Yeah, I thought about it.
The
but
Baba.
I was like,
all right.
Across from me is another one of our hosts this season. It's Carter Midsome Milliards.
Hey, that wasn't that bad.
I think it was pretty bad.
That was really bad. I'm sorry.
Some Milliards. It works.
And to my
Baba
right,
Carter.
Our last host for this
I'm trying to be positive.
Season.
Last host ever.
Ever. The
Hills Have Eyes Widener.
Okay.
That was all right.
No, that's all right.
That was your best one.
The Hills
one.
Have I. The Hills Have Eidner.
The Hills Have Eidner. Yeah, maybe.
And I'm
no.
The Baba Phoenix.
The
to
Baba.
That.
The Baba Phoenix.
Phoenix Arola.
Robbie De Leatherface Shazer.
Yeah, De Leatherface.
And Carter Midsome Milliards.
I'm glad we're at the finale and we
like,
have gotten
something
no better at this.
I don't necessarily know the next seasons are going to be any easier, but. We'll get to that bridge.
What are we going to do with the
yeah,
next season?
We'll get to that bridge.
Oh,
we're teasing things.
I feel very bad for, for what's to come.
We should talk about what we're going to do for those episodes after this.
Yeah. And then we'll talk in the bonus episode about what next season is.
Are we recording a bonus episode tonight?
I figured it'd be like 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
Whoa,
see how
man.
Long this takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently nearly 10:30 at night.
We're good.
Cool.
What's another 15 minutes?
Yeah, you know what? You're right, you're right, you're right.
You know, I just want to take right now just to say happy Halloween to all of our listeners.
Yeah. It was yesterday.
Happy
if you're listening
Halloween
to this the day it
yesterday.
Came out.
Yesterday. I hope you had a lot
forgive
of good
us
candy, a lot of dots, and
a lot of what?
Reese's.
If you're listening to this, we're reigning in November by watching Clute.
And Clue.
And Clue. So we're officially
feature.
Off the Halloween movies onto the prestige drama slash comedy.
Yeah, slash wacky 90s comedies.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
90s, no.
Also, dots are good.
Dots are no.
Dots are very good.
Gross.
Dots are gross.
Dots
candy
are
corn,
good, and I'm glad it's
also gross.
Phoenix. Miss me with that.
Candy corn is good, too. Ooh.
Candy corn is bad.
Tootsie Rolls are hot. Also disgusting. Is it chocolate? Is it caramel?
Tootsie Rolls are good.
Straight
Tootsie Rolls are good.
I was on your side, Shannon, for so long,
Tootsie
and now
Rolls
you two have alienated
are good.
Me.
Give me a Laffy Taffy.
Give me a high five.
Any day, but Tootsie Rolls.
Robbie, you took
Laffy Taffy.
I only have friends on this side.
That's a... It's a big no for
Shannon's
me.
Against
pass.
Both of my faves.
Apparently,
right here.
I hate fun.
You
and
do.
Joy.
What candy is good?
There's literally so much to choose
Sour
from. You got
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Sour Patch Kids are
Skittles.
Reese's peanut butter cups
are
yes,
Reese's
Snicks. Snickers.
I feel you
Reese's
you
peanut butter
Sour
cups.
Patch when you're trick or treating.
Shannon's not answering the question.
What
Reese's
is the question?
Peanut butter cups.
Yes, of course they're delicious.
Yeah,
that was the second thing Phoenix said.
Yeah,
we got
great.
Stuck
yeah.
on dots.
They're exactly
because dots are disgusting.
It's
Whoppers.
Dots are really
Whoppers are
started.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
they're
Whoppers.
Fine.
I'm pretty ambivalent about Whoppers.
They're good Halloween candy because I'd never buy it.
I do
when I get it. I'm like,
I do feel bad about Whoppers.
Can I tell them the joke I told you last
yeah,
Friday?
Yeah.
Weedus fish. It's Swedish fish that sing the song Teenage Dirtbag. by Wheatus.
Similarly, I thought of Wheatish Kush, and that's Swedish fish with weed in it.
That probably exists.
Yeah.
I bet it does, but it's probably not. I don't think that they can
call it that. I feel like that's copyright.
They do the weed gummies, so why not put it in Swedish fish?
Well, you can't advertise it, but like, you know.
Exactly.
On the DL.
It probably works.
It's like the street name, but they probably actually call it like...
They're probably called a...
Green trout. Or something.
I bet they're probably called
Norwegian trout.
Got any of that green trout?
My guess is that they're probably named after the strain of marijuana that is in the gummy.
Yeah, the strain is called Wheatish Kush.
It's called Wheatus Fish. It's for fans of the band that sings the song Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Her name is Noelle.
Whoppers. Just all right. I feel bad for them, though, because they're usually, like, in the variety packs of candy, and they're always the last candy to get ate.
Yo, the candy you guys had on Friday night, the Reese's Cups...
Good.
...were in, like, a weird package, though.
Oh?
Did you see them?
No.
Do tell.
Do you have the... Do you still have any of the candy from...
No, they're all gone.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know we had Reese's
There's
Cups.
There's six of us in one quickly. Bowl, and it's been 3 days.
There was... Yeah. So the Reese's Cups...
I had to actually steal some.
They were, like, mini... So they were, like, the... The miniature cups, like the ones that are usually like individually foil wrapped.
Yeah.
But it just had the wax paper, and then the rest of it was like an orange wrapper, like a fun size candy bar wrapper.
Fun.
It was weird. I didn't know if I mean it was still good. The candy didn't change. But I was
Thank God.
Man, should we go get some Reese's peanut butter cups after this?
I'm down.
I pulled out the package expecting like a Reese's egg or something, like a big thing, and then I was like, oh.
The Reese's small. The Reese's pumpkins are good.
Reese's pumpkins.
Oh, they are.
All of the big Reese's are very good.
Any shape.
Like a fast
break.
With
chocolate and peanut butter is delicious.
Yeah. I love a good fast break, but I feel like they're...
A Take Five bar.
I feel like they're undervalued.
I'm
trying to... Toffee, seriously undervalued. Give me a score.
Like a Heath?
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Kit Kats.
Oh,
Kit Kats are good.
Kit Kats are...
I haven't had any of like the weird Kit Kats from like Japan, but there was like a quick, there was like a trend there where
they
were like getting like matcha and like.
And the fruit flavored Kit Kats with the white chocolate.
I don't know how I feel about the fruit flavored ones.
I've had the lime ones before.
I'm into the idea of a matcha Kit Kat.
The matcha ones are good. They taste quite good.
Yeah.
Big fan.
I'm a big fan of Three Musketeers, but I've been told it's an old man candy bar.
I love Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers? Yeah. They're just delicious.
I fuck with the Three Musketeers.
It's okay.
Is it because it's just fluff?
Can't believe I'm going to have to crawl over this table.
I cannot believe that I have...
You guys are the Three Musketeers defending the Three
Musketeers.
I love
that I have alliances and feuds with everyone at the table now.
It's amazing.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I mean...
What are you going to do?
That's the perfect segue into this episode.
Speaking of Whopper...
This is actually the candy episode.
We have a
This is the bonus
episode.
Then we'll get to the finale.
We could just cut it at 15 minutes and say this is the bonus.
Hey guys, next season is...
My rankings are Sour Patch.
Now, that would be wild to record the bonus before we knew what won.
That would be wild.
No.
We're not going to do that.
That's unheard of.
It's fine.
All right.
Back to the actual movies, though.
Yeah, we're 8 minutes in.
Okay. What are our three movies, Shannon?
Our three movies to finish out this wonderful and spooky season are Suspiria.
Ooh.
Witches.
The Evil Dead.
We'd be Beavis and Butthead now.
And
we'd be Beavis and Butthead now.
Hereditary, who is going to be making the like weird didgeridoo.
Hail Payman! Hail Payman!
That was what? What just, sorry, I blacked out there.
Yeah.
His eyes turned black and rolled back into his head. It was strange.
And then we all become Alex Wolff.
Yo, shout out to...
if only.
Shout out to this guy I knew in high school, Martin, who dressed as Peter from Hereditary for Halloween and had a bomb Instagram caption for it. It was just like, hey, man, after, you know, just a month of your sister being decapitated, your dad being set on fire, your mom... ripping her own head off with piano wire and being possessed by a demon. Sometimes you just want a damn shot.
That is
like,
good.
I was like, very good. Also, good job describing everything that happened in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, shockingly enough, we had a whole
I haven't
month.
Seen any of these movies. I'm not a fan of horror.
Well, Carter listened to it.
Yeah.
Carter listened to all of these with very nice headphones on.
No, but I just guessed.
Yeah, you nailed it so
Took
far.
Took an educated guess.
You nailed it.
I'm doing
so
okay.
Far. So we all know what this, what the topic at hand is. You know, it's the finale.
Worst picture.
We're, oh.
Oh.
Well. Well, we got to go back growled. Now.
My stomach was upset. You okay? What you just
you
said.
You okay?
Yeah.
It knows we're getting Reese's after this.
No, of course it's best picture.
We're getting racist after this?
No, Reese's.
Ooh, good, good. I was worried we were getting racist after this.
I don't need this podcast to get canceled,
bitch. I know.
7 seasons in.
It's a good run.
Season 7, time
more
for wedding.
More content is always better than less content.
That's what I said during those 6 months we didn't make anything.
Hey, we were making another podcast.
We did, hey.
And now it's going.
Yeah.
What you gonna do? Anyway.
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 There we go.
So this is like best picture, you know? Just talking about the movies in general, which is nice because, I mean, we haven't really gotten to dig into the actual like filmmaking qualities of these particular movies this
season.
We've
just done the spooky aspects of these stories.
So now we can actually talk about these as film, as cinema.
Yeah, Kino. And not Kino. Fucking theme parks. Am I right?
Fuck theme parks.
Yeah. All these fucking roller coaster rides, like The Exorcist and Get Out.
Get Out, not Phoenix. Cinema. No, it's a theme park.
No, it's time for cinema. Like Suspiria and House. House wasn't a theme park.
House might have been.
The most theme park, I think.
Absolutely. House might not be a theme. It's a carnival.
It's quite literally like a ride.
It would be dope if there was like a House roller coaster. Like for real.
Universal Studios. Get on that that Halloween Horror Nights House.
That might be too high budget, though. This is, when I think of House, the theme park, I'm thinking of like one of those ramshackle, like kind of set up in a mall kind of.
That's kind of what, that's kind of what Halloween Horror Nights is, though. They just turn Universal Studios into
essentially a
bunch of haunted low budget haunted houses.
I'm thinking like an Oculus virtual reality experience.
That may be too high budget.
I'd want the authenticity though.
Actually, I want the Universal high budget so that they can look low budget. High budget that it looks authentic.
I feel like we're getting away.
That's the criteria is which movie is the best roller coaster.
Okay. Mr. Scorsese.
If that's the case.
Carter doesn't want us to compare it to looking at a marquee, so instead we'll describe them all as roller coasters.
We can talk about, you know, the regular, like, you know, nitty-gritty parts of this. The script.
Yeah.
The pacing. The acting.
The boring
editing,
stuff.
The cinematography. You know, the ones that people...
The reasons why we started this podcast.
Yeah. Because we like breaking down this part of the
movies.
Yeah.
I figured we could spend this first half.
Does anyone want to go into any more detail on what they're going to talk about?
Oh, I was just going to say we're going to spend this first half of the podcast deciding what the worst one was so we can argue about what the best one was in the second half.
Kind of.
Yeah, we can do that.
We're going to start with our number threes. We normally start with our number ones. Yeah. But being as it's not about who leaves, it's about who wins this round.
It's about who gets to leave this time.
I guess. Who escapes. I guess who survives the night.
This is a...
So we start with our number threes.
Yeah.
Who wants to start us off?
I'll do it.
All right, Phoenix.
I, once again, really like all of these movies. And I feel bad even just kind of eliminating one or talking about it negatively, to be honest, because I really enjoy them all. It's but my number three is Suspiria.
What a hot take.
Yeah.
Well, do tell.
All of these are hot takes.
Suspiria is great.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy watching it. However, I think the reason why I would maybe rank it a little bit lower is because it's a lot of flash, but not a lot of substance. It's very much you're watching for the style. You're watching for the score. You're watching for the colors. As far as the actual script, you know, it's a little by the books or, you know, it's nothing too impressive or... like anything that blows you away. There's no real, like, truly terrifying parts aside from just some really, like, incredible, like, murders that happen in the movie. The acting is okay. It's a little aged at this point, but I'm not gonna, you know, discredit the actors at the time. And I always have to feel like I need to watch Suspiria when I'm in the mood for it because it's not necessarily, like, good. On its own, it's more very cultish and sort of a vibe that you can kind of roll with when you're feeling that sort of way. And I think that's kind of built into it. There's a little camp, there's a little fun, But there's not a lot of seriousness to it. And granted, that could be something that they're going for, and that could be something you can maybe praise it for, is that it's a lot of fun and it doesn't take itself too seriously. But I think for me that that has to bring it down to number three, because I just look at it and think it's a lot of fun, but not a lot of, like, you know, a fully enjoyable or fully artistic film.
Everything you just said, I can apply to my number three, which is The Evil Dead.
Oh!
It's not a great script. Really, I think maybe the worst performances overall out of any of the three films. I think it's not particularly original. It's certainly got its spooky qualities, but I don't find the movie particularly scary. And it's, I kind of have to be in the mood to watch it. I mean, I'd much rather watch the second one than the first one. I think it's kind of a better, well-made film. So yeah, I'm like the complete inverse of you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to jump off something you said.
All right.
Not getting into my ranking yet. I'm trying to think about I know that the Cabin in the Woods thing is not particularly original now.
Mm-hmm.
But who really did that before Evil Dead?
That's a good question.
Because, I mean, you can say it's, you know, it's a tired trope now and it's not something you necessarily want to see. But can you knock it for being one of the first to do it, and especially one of the first to do it in such a popular format?
I don't know. I'd have to do some research.
I mean, it's something to think about for sure. Because, I mean, in that case, it's incredibly original if it's one of the first to do it and starting a trope like that. It's something I truly don't have the answer for, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to talk while you do some Googling.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I agree with a lot of what both of you are saying about different things. Production-wise, I feel like they're both competently made for the relatively low budgets that they have.
I would agree.
Whereas, you know, something like our third film, Hereditary, which also we ended up with three relatively low budgets compared to other films of their time. Hereditary has a lot to build off of, and it has the artistry of A24 and their network behind it as well.
Yeah. To go on a quick tangent real quick.
Yeah,
sorry
jump,
to cut you off.
Go for it.
I feel like it's surprising, but I don't know if it's that surprising that we ended up with three more low-budget horror films, because that's kind of when a lot of horror directors kind of shine and show their stuff is with like a low budget.
Certainly. It is also a big, behind-the-scenes trope almost of... Hey, we wanted to, you know, it's a relatively easy genre of film to break out in.
Yeah.
And that you have a lot of room for creativity. Genre films in general, you have a lot of room for creativity. You have a lot of room to really flex your, you know, whether it's your directing skills or your writing skills, or just like, even like, you know, if you've got some great makeup and VFX people that, you know, like really flexing your network there. So I see why a lot of like low budget people go for the horror movie, and I see why a lot of like new technology in film is also like done through horror, because it's an easy way to make back your budget as well.
Yeah.
Getting into like the nitty gritty of filmmaking.
Yeah. And I think also the genre sometimes can cater to a low budget with things like, well, you know, a lot of scary things happen in the dark, so there doesn't need to be a lot of fancy lighting.
Right.
You know, a lot of scares happen with like a contained group, so it doesn't need a lot of actors and stuff like that. So,
and I mean, that's why you see.
I also noticed that we had a lot of low budget, and that's kind of the conclusion I came up.
Yeah.
I drew from it is.
Yeah.
And
that's why you see a lot of horror movies in locations like the suburbs or the woods, because those are kind of like, those are places that people with low budgets have access to. You know, they're not. That's why you don't see a lot of like horror movies going into like big high rises downtown, because they just don't, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to rent out that place. Whereas, you know,
yeah,
if you've got a buddy whose grandfather has a, you know, a hunting lodge in the middle of nowhere, like go shoot there, you know.
Yeah. But back to what you're saying.
Yeah. Otherwise, I feel a lot of the criticisms you guys have for both of these movies. So what gets me is that I think I'm going to have to go with my number three is Suspiria as well. And why I think that it's worse, or why I think The Evil Dead is better, maybe, without placing The Evil Dead in a ranking or anything, is that I feel like there is a much, there's a story to follow there that doesn't feel, I don't feel like as the viewer that I'm having to piece together mythology or like try and figure out what was left out of the story in the way that Argento left out a lot of details on what the coven was doing. It feels like a very incomplete under, like I don't even watching it with like subtitles on so that you can really catch every word or whatever. I don't feel like I come out with like a complete picture of what's going on, why I should be afraid of the coven. I just have a spooky feeling about them, you know? So I feel like the story in The Evil Dead is easier to follow, but also has some really original elements to it. I like the idea of, you know, awakening an evil, a vengeful spirit by, you know, reading the correct words or even having them read to you from a freaking tape recorder. Like, that's a lot of fun. Like, it is very much a product of its time, but it's simple in a way that has some beauty to it, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think you said it, Suspiria is a lot of flash and very little substance to it.
Yeah.
And there's just some, you know, mild filmmaking things that get at me where I'm like, I don't like dubbing of everyone's voices, especially like it's, I think the easiest way I can put it is in production, what we talk about is that people can forgive bad visuals. They can't forgive bad sound. And so it's an element that takes me out of the movie every time I watch it. And I watched it probably 3 times in preparation for different episodes of this.
Yeah.
As it was my first viewing back in September. It's just, it takes me out of it every time. And I have to remember that, like, you know, how to keep the flow of conversation going when it is so abundantly jarring to see somebody's voice not really matching up with their words and clearly not their voice.
Yeah.
Or just like bad ADR. Like,
I mean, do you feel that way about like other movies like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that style.
Yeah. It's a
like style. Spaghetti Westerns and stuff.
You don't like? I mean.
Or like The Bicycle Thief or something.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah. I know. I mean.
Because it's just the way movies were made.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame the movie for that because it's just how Italian films like that were made.
And it's not something, it's not like the reason why I put it at number 3, but also like.
Because I was like, I don't really think it was like, oh, I'm going to make sure and do this for like a creative choice. Yeah. It's just how they made movies.
Yeah. And I can see that, but there are some where it's like, it was out of necessity as opposed to this is how we make movies. You know, there are some where it's like, oh, the sound, because you can hear the rest of the diegetic sound of the film is in that scene or whatever is bad. And you're like, oh, this is ADR because you couldn't hear what they were saying because whoever was recording did a bad job.
Yeah. But I don't necessarily know that was the case with this.
There's a couple of scenes in particular that I noticed and like looked up and saw like,
yeah,
but especially it's really prevalent in the scene where they're I'm forgetting everyone's names now. It's when they're all getting dressed towards the beginning after the first murder. But when she arrives at the school,
yeah,
that scene has some really bad, like hissing from the recording and a lot of, the main actress's lines are dubbed when she's not dubbed for a lot of the film. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
that scene in particular.
I was looking.
Yes,
there's some movies. There's like cult horror films, like really obscure '70s horror films that are like out in the wilderness, and like Texas Chainsaw is probably the closest to something like that.
Right,
that's like mainstream before Evil Dead. But as far as I can tell, even though it was the first one to do it, or like really popularize it.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can count it for not being original there.
Yeah. I can definitely rescind that. But it's you know, you kind of have to take it also in the context of how we're watching it now.
I understand that, but I don't think you can say it's unoriginal.
Yeah, definitely not unoriginal.
If it is the original, it's not unoriginal.
That's correct.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to.
Yeah. So.
I think it's a really good concept. Mm-hmm. I think it does that concept better than I think Evil Dead 2 probably does it a little bit better than Evil Dead, but Evil Dead 2 isn't a movie we're talking about here.
Yeah. So it's with Evil Dead, why I have it ranked third is, you know, all of the reasons I was talking about. And it's just, to me, it's, this still feels, I mean, like it was what, Sam Raimi's first film?
Yeah.
It feels like his first film. There's a certain kind of charm to it feeling so kind of like, almost like a really long student film. But also, there are elements of it where I was like, this definitely is not a practiced filmmaker. And yeah. So, and I mean, there's...
You mean like unpolished?
Unpolished,
like a student film.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Stylistically, which gives it some of its charm.
Yeah.
You know? So...
There are definitely some parts where in Evil Dead where you can go, are you sure you didn't get a better take of that line or, you know?
And it's like, I very much love the like world building with the, you know, the Necronomicon and like...
The Kandarian dagger.
The dagger and the deadites and all that, even though we don't know most of that. So there are definitely elements that I really enjoy. It's just, if we're looking at it from like a filmmaking perspective, I think it's easily the most unpolished. And while it is like definitely compelling in some aspects, namely in like the monster of it, I think, I mean, there are entire elements like, you know, we kind of talk about the tree rape scene here and there, but it's kind of wholly unnecessary to the movie. I don't necessarily know that if it was taken out, if the movie would be any less compelling. And so it's one of those things where you're like, did that really need to be in there? And I don't think it's aged particularly well. And so there's certainly aspects of like that where you're like, there's this kind of glaring, you know, glaring mark on this otherwise, you know, pretty good movie.
Right.
Too, that you can't really look past.
Yeah.
So I think the writing in it, you know, is worth talking about. I mean, I think that's certainly a plus, but there are just a lot of things. It's also, I mean, they're all very young and new actors, and that I think also shows.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about, because I know you brought that up about how it could be like the worst acting of the three.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to push back on that only in the sense that I think it actually is a little bit deceptively good in the sense that, like, while it's not... like Toni Collette and Hereditary, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
I think if you actually look at like the actors when they are the deadites, mm-hmm. I think they actually really show their acting, acting prowess.
That's certainly true. That's, I think, the highlight in terms of performances in the film.
Yeah.
Are certainly the deadites in that kind of like manic twist and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of terrifying.
Because that takes a lot of like acting ability to be able to
certainly
come off menacing and crazy mm-hmm. and demonic and all the things that they're playing with to be and, playful but scary and everything that they're going with it. I think that's where their acting actually mm-hmm. shines. I can see your point in that maybe when they're, you know, just the humans that they can seem a little bit, you know, stilted or new and stuff like that. But I think it's not as bad when you actually consider that half of the
also
when they're acting.
All loved Bruce Campbell. But even he admits he's not the best actor.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, it is a hard balance there to, because you want to play up the naivety of like the college stage students, you know, together in the woods, like, you know, massively fucking up and summoning a demon with that, you know, over the top playfulness of the deadites and stuff like that. You want, so you can balance that, and I think you end up with some like stiltedness and maybe some pretty, you know, flat performances to like really, but for the most part, I think especially in the scenes before any of the hijinks, it doesn't feel particularly like they, you know, it doesn't feel like actors necessarily as much as it feels like, oh, you're watching, you know, mm-hmm. those four people could believably, or five people could believably be on that trip.
I will say, I do love the cinematography of Evil Dead, the way it just kind of like drifts and flows, and especially the perspective of like the spirits or whatever outside moving around.
Yes.
I think is very, very good.
Big fan. There's one shot, I'm trying to think of where it is chronologically within the film, but you start in front of, I think it's Ashley's face, and then you whip around, arc over, and get to the back. Some sort of movement like that that I remember. It still stuck with me because it's something that I haven't seen in a lot of films, and it just, I think it expresses a lot of the freedom that mm-hmm. and, you know, you're a fresh filmmaker and this is, you know, your first movie. And I think it's quite a tribute to Sam Raimi that this was, you know, you create a vision of a space with the cinematography that he'd used in this film. And, it adds, I mean, not just charm, but it shows like trajectory wise where the rest of his career is going to go. Yeah. Yeah. And I like the fact that there's like a genealogy that lives in this movie. Yeah. But, so my number three pick, actually was The Evil Dead. And I went around and, I'm trying to think of it like, okay, these are all three really good films and they're obviously they've lasted this long for a reason. So I'm like, okay, what's my base that I'm building off of? What's my base movie that every other movie like sustains or adds more layers of, polish to? And I think Evil Dead is a solid base, but I could argue that the other two films add even more to that base. I mean, obviously with The Evil Dead, space is so important to this film and the grammar of this film and how people interact in this space, which I think is why you can make the argument that the actors in this film are either not so great or perfect. Yeah. I lean more towards the side of perfect, really, for the space. I think they've give some believable and campy but real performances that, you know, once again adds to the charm of this film. The reason why I'd place something like, you know, a Suspiria or Hereditary over this movie is just because I think there's more polish and more visual design, particularly, is why I'm putting... That's why I would put Suspiria over it and not in the third spot. I'm more drawn to like the geometries of space that are in a building than perhaps maybe like a woods environment. Yeah, that's my main thing. I'm okay with the flash and the visuals. That's half of the reason why I even, I used to be completely against horror films background. I'm seeing a lot of growth in myself for you know, having enjoyed this season so much. But Suspiria is a large part of why that is. And it's like the stylization of horror. It's not always as a genre. Low budget does not mean low quality.
That's also the style versus substance debate. I mean, horror movies kind of on the aggregate are usually style over substance.
Well, yeah. And I wanted to make it clear
that's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's just,
I wanted to make it clear that when I said it was style over substance, I wasn't discrediting the style at all. I love the style, and I definitely see the positives of it. And I see the, like the greatness of it. And I'm not at all saying it's lesser than or anything like that.
No, certainly.
I just, when looking at these two films, I think one thing that really, I guess, sticks out to me more than the other is I just really find a lot of qualms with the writing and the pacing of Suspiria, specifically about when just like the confusion of the lore. While it's interesting, it's still not very
clear.
I don't think it's, and I don't think it's supposed to be unclear purposefully. I think it's just kind of shaky shaky in itself, and that's the way it comes off with, in my opinion. Yeah. So that kind of bothers me, along with I think.
I mean, behind the scenes, speaking to like that, the lore itself, like it speaks volumes how long it took for him to finish this trilogy.
I mean, I think that was just people wouldn't give him money.
I think that's part of it. But also, like, he didn't start trying to get money for it for several years because he was still figuring out what the deal really was with this.
They're also not, strictly speaking, meant to be like super connected other than
the
three mothers.
Yeah. When you see like it all written out, like the philosophy behind the three mothers, it's very clearly connected, and it very much like there's purpose behind it. And if that purpose is supposed to be driving this film and it isn't clear to even the director himself, it's hard to write a good story around that.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's mysterious. I think it's just poorly executed. Like, I don't think the world building is as solid as it is in The Evil Dead, which The Evil Dead is a very simplified story, and I can see how it can come off as a little bit of cliche or a little bit overdone, because it is just there's a cabin, there's people, there's zombies, there's monsters.
It works to its credit. Yeah. I mean, usually a simpler story will work better because it's harder to mess with.
Exactly. And I think that is like even though it's simplified, it kind of has a strength that has its own strength because it knows not to be too extreme, which is funny to say about The Evil Dead because the franchise eventually does get really out there and absurd. But I think with this one, it really just it plays to its strengths. Mm-hmm. It's simple. The characters are simple. The situation is simple, but it does so many like fun things with it, like the score, the cinematography, the costume design, the voice acting. Mm-hmm. I think it just it really comes together to be like a really solid B horror movie, I think. And while Suspiria has like flashier moments and maybe even some better moments in the movie, I think overall it's a little bit shakier and a little bit more not as concrete, not as solid, which is why I lean more towards Evil Dead.
If I can sing the praises of Suspiria for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we haven't really addressed that as much. Obviously, you know, the visuals and the music are where it's gonna lie. The color palette and the lighting and everything is just phenomenal. Maybe what Glockenspiel. Maybe one of the best lit movies in terms of like colors and everything.
Yeah.
Out there. Were y'all's biggest qualm with like the muddled world building? I do agree with the pacing. The pacing of this movie is definitely off. There are certain elements that I don't mind that it feels a little long. I think it's necessary sometimes for a movie to give you
time to breathe.
Time to breathe and then anticipate what's coming next. And I think it does that pretty well. But there are a couple of scenes in particular that come to mind of her like talking to what's his face? Like gray haired guy. And he's like explaining the whole movie to her.
Yes. Outside the office.
Yeah, outside the office building. That's like a weirdly long scene.
Yeah. And it comes really late.
Yeah, it comes really late in the movie. And it's one of those things where I'm like, this is kind of strange. So, yeah, I certainly, you know, I don't necessarily think the pacing's all the way there. I don't think it's quite as bad as maybe you think it is. I mean, we're just kind of on a different level there. But I do agree that it's certainly one of the problem areas. The muddled world building for me, it wasn't necessarily muddled. It was just kind of, I always saw it as like, there's certainly a bigger thing going on that we as the audience are just not privy to. And so it's like, it's all there and we're getting like pieces here and there of it. And it's like, really all you need to understand for the movie is that there is a witch's coven and that, you know, they're trying to, you know, they're like sacrificing students and stuff like that.
Right.
And so it's, can we get to the bottom of that? And then there's this greater world beyond that, that we're just not necessarily privy to, but here are some hints towards it. And so that to me never really felt muddled. It definitely felt like a purposeful choice from a creative aspect to me. And so I never really wrote it off as like a poor execution.
Right. I think,
but I think if you ignore the broader world, there, then you've got, I think you have even a worse kind of problem on your hands, in which that you've got of an interesting mystery going on with but they're witches.
Well, there was no guarantee that anything else would be made with it to explore like the other aspects of it.
Yeah, then I think that that's, I
don't think that he needed to include, that's like saying like Iron Man needed to include all of the Avengers in the first
that's
movie.
That's not what I'm saying though.
It's like the cause
but that's not what I'm saying.
I
listen to what I'm saying, and then you know I get what you're saying about. I don't think you need to build your entire world in one movie. I think that's why movies like Batman versus Superman and The Mummy do so poorly is they focus too much on that. What I'm saying is, if you're not going to build, if you're not working towards something else, then you have even worse execution in that you've got a you have an interesting mystery story about. You know, are these people, why are these people disappearing? And then it feels very much like you just throw in witches because you spun a wheel of, you know, fantastical antagonists. And we're like, they're witches. And that's why.
I don't know about that.
I mean, if you don't have a broader world, you can replace witches with they're goblins, they're vampires, they're werewolves, like.
Well, I mean, the movie's designed, though, for them to be witches. Like, it's a very purposeful choice. And it's from the beginning of the movie through. I mean, there are elements of it there.
Yeah, I think for me, like, a good comp, actually, with how they deal with the world building in this movie. You could, like, comp it to, like, Hereditary. Because Hereditary is a movie where there is a mystery. There is, like, a monster, like, group or something that we learn about throughout the movie. But there's other things we don't know. Like, there's a literal book that we don't read.
Yeah.
He goes through, he flips to, like, a few passages. There's, like, a history of how they formed and who they are and what their names are, what their goals are that we don't know. It's never explained. We don't need to know. But I think by the end of the movie, we get a full picture of what we need to know to have a very satisfying ending and a very complete film. I think with Suspiria, I think there's still some holes that we don't know that are unexplained that just don't make it feel as complete as full. Mm-hmm. We know they're witches. We know they're like the mother of the coven or, you know, with the dance hall. But I just think we don't know things like what exactly they do or what exactly like but their goal is for.
You could say the same thing about the Deadites.
Yeah, that's true. But again, I think with the Evil Dead, I think it plays well in its simplicity of that. Yeah. Like we get the tape recorder and we just need to know like what they are, how they are created, and that
and then
they're,
the rest of
that
movie is about those interactions, which is something that I think works to the advantage of the
and we know a specialty about the book when they draw the book on the paper. Yeah. And then it kind of just it kind of lives on that. And then, you know, if subsequent movies it go more and more into things like that. I think Suspiria, like, we don't really know the witch's powers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unexplained until it happens when they stab the witch that's invisible. That just kind of out of nowhere. It wasn't really, in my opinion, set up beforehand.
I mean, we know that she's there.
Yes, we do know that she's there. But
and you know that she's a presence.
Yeah. It's a bit of a reveal.
I don't know that the world building in this is any more or less egregious than the world building in The Evil Dead.
I disagree. I think it's a lot shakier.
I think the world building in this is pretty equivalent to Evil Dead.
I think it's
the same amount of like, you know, there's more to the Necronomicon, but they don't read it.
Right, but I think
and by it's the same. You know, there's more to this.
But in relation to the story, I think when we get to the ending of Suspiria, I think there's a lot that we still feel like we didn't get when we were. It felt like we should have gotten
like
Resident the Evil Dead. Like just generally things about the witches and like what.
So do you want more development like with the witches?
Yes.
Yeah, we kind of don't even know what they were doing or like what their point is. There's a lot of it's like a mystery, like about how they're stabbing people and when they're like, you know, sicking the dogs on people, and there's just more like there's no real direction. They're kind of just a presence there. And
but then how is that any different from the Deadites? They're also just a presence there. We don't really know what they're supposed to do or why they're there.
I guess I just get the implication or the feeling that because they're witches in a dance hall and they're like a business or like a traditional like thing, they have a goal to do something. Whereas the Deadites, I mean, they're zombies. They're dead.
They are summoned. People. They're summoned there. Yeah. And the conflict is much more immediate in The Evil Dead. And that's why I think some of that works.
And I mean, we're explaining like why are they a dance hall? Like we still don't know other than they're witches at a dance hall.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just kind of, I mean, it's some kind of creative decision, obviously, that they would. I mean, it's a group where you have a lot of women together, and it would form a coven. So it's there's. I mean, to me, it's very much like circumstantial.
Well, and I think my main thing with Suspiria. Oh, okay, so Suspiria. You're going in it for the building of intrigue in particular. I'm watching that movie to be thrilled, and I don't need all of the pieces of the puzzle ever really to assemble to create that kind of an atmosphere. Now, if I'm watching The Evil Dead, the suspense is there for a hot minute. But once the Deadites come on the scene, then it kind of, I mean, it's horrific when you're looking at the makeup and everything, but from a story perspective, once they're there, the horror kind of plateaus.
Yeah, and it becomes about survival at that point, though, which is a different kind
of... Which is a different goal for a horror film in general, but I don't think that the vagueness... and the lack of detail by the end of Suspiria is like a complete discredit to the film. I mean, I'm just going off the fact that, like, once again, it is intentional. And if I have every single piece to understand, like, the bureaucratic mechanics of this witch coven, I'm losing the fear if that's given out so immediately. Yeah.
I also think that, I mean, you were talking about that the danger is immediate in Evil Dead, which is true. It's certainly more immediate, but I think the danger is established in Suspiria pretty immediately because, you know, the murder happens very early in the film.
It's true.
Yeah. It's almost, you know, one of the first things. And then you see the woman, you know, running out as
we had a corpse from the beginning, and she's fleeing to the friend's place.
And so you're like, it's the danger is there. You just don't fully understand it until the end.
You never get context until the very end.
That's not necessarily my problem. I don't ever, I feel always there's a danger in the movie. Yeah. I just think, I know we talked a few weeks ago about how part of this movie is like a horror, but part of it's also like a whodunit, you know, because they set up like the kills as who was the person that killed them. Then they lead us on with like the dog who sicked the dog on them. Then it leads us on who stabbed her when she was in the wires, stuff like that. There's a lot, it gives a tone and like a feeling of we're going to answer these questions and stuff like that. So I almost feel like I am expecting more answers. Yeah. And so that's why I feel like with The Evil Dead, I don't necessarily need more answers because it didn't ever tell me or ever give me the feeling that it was going to give me a lot. Whereas Suspiria, I feel like it really led me on to believe there was more that it was going to tell me. And then when there wasn't enough, I feel like that's what causes the imbalance, the shakiness of the script. I just think that it's a problem. And I think while The Evil Dead might be a little bit simpler, I think that's why it's still more solid. You know, it's like if you get like a hamburger at McDonald's and it's, you know, it's fine, it's good. But if you go to like a 5-star restaurant and order a burger and there's no meat in it, then you're like, well, is it better even if it's more fresher? I don't know, you know? That's kind of the way I weigh these two things.
I don't know. I think this is just kind of where we're going to agree to disagree.
But that being said, before we figure out where we will agree, let's take a quick break.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. Before we get back into the action, I just wanted to tell you about a show we have here on the 52.8 Media Network called Tap Heads. That's right, Tap Heads is a show hosted by yours truly, Robbie DeShazer, along with Carter Spilliards from Film Fracas and our good friend Wendy Lopez. We get together every other week and we drink a whole bunch of beers and talk about what we like about them, what we don't like about them, what we're learning about beers. There's just so much fun to be had. We've tried a whole bunch of different breweries, a whole bunch of different types of styles of beers. We're just having a lot of fun doing this, and I think that you guys should go check it out. So right after you listen to the second half of this episode, head on over to anchor.fm/tapheads and go listen to our most recent episode. We had a lot of fun making it, and we hope you guys have a lot of fun listening to it. All right, get back to the action.
I'm gonna talk about more of the same movie.
All right,
we don't have to talk about it for a long time.
We're back.
Hey,
sorry, I was.
Oh, Sudowoodie.
You started laughing, and I was like, "Oh no!" I just hit record.
Someone just said a funny joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're back. We took a little break. When we left off, we were debating the merits between The Evil Dead and Suspiria, which we're gonna leave at. Everyone just what we've decided is everyone's just going to do personal rankings and then we'll see how everything shakes out for winners once we get to the end. So to give everyone a reminder, Phoenix had at his number 3
Suspiria.
I had at my number 3 Suspiria. Carter at his number 3
I had The Evil Dead.
And Shannon at her number 3
I also had The Evil Dead.
All right. And we spent a lot of time talking about that.
So we can all talk about our number 2s and if they're not new films, then we can move right on to our winner.
Which is Carter, you want to go first?
Sure. My number 2 was Suspiria. I thought it was, we've talked a lot about it. I thought it was better than The Evil Dead. I liked it.
Yeah. Do you want to make your one last like argument for why you put them the way you did?
Yeah. I mean, it really comes down to the quality of the film itself. I think, like, Suspiria is a more well-put-together film. I think it's got, like we said, more style. I think I love Jessica Harper's performance more than anyone else's performance in anything in The Evil Dead. Just her genuine fear, while also her kind of naivete, like, going around this coven, and all of these things kind of happening around her, and her having to try to, like, uncover and see what's really at the source of it. I just think she gives a really good performance. That's, I think, better than anything in The Evil Dead. And it's, you know, y'all were talking about muddled world building. I don't think it's muddled. I think it's kind of the perfect amount of you know, what's disclosed and what's not. And yeah, you get, you know, I agree that it's kind of, the ending is kind of abrupt. It's like, as soon as the word, you're like, if you, you know anything about witches? And then to the end, you're like, oh, okay, this all happened very quickly. Which, you know, it, I think goes back to the pacing of the movie, not necessarily the writing. But, yeah, I think overall it's just a more well-made movie. I think it's got, yeah, more style and intrigue and better performances than The Evil Dead.
All right. I'll send it over to myself, because Phoenix pointed at me. Thanks, yeah. Buddy. So my number two, I have I have The Evil Dead here. No surprise to most people. So I guess I'll make my last argument for this. I think we said, so I'm going to make a distinction between what I'm talking about here and what I think when it comes to most film criticism. I don't think that say the style over substance is a bad thing in general when we're talking about film. I don't think it's a reason to write off any particular film just mm-hmm. as your opening discussion into the ether if you're, you know, writing your Letterboxd review or
yeah.
your, you know, 280 character tweet review of something. I do think in comparison to the two movies that we have, to the other two movies, Suspiria has style over value style over substance, while the other two movies do a much better job of balancing that, of having a good amount of style and the substance to back it up as well, specifically Hereditary having a very good balance of both. So while I said it's not a big it shouldn't be a criticism that like is the end all be all, I think that's what it came to mostly for my particular ranking. I saw, while The Evil Dead has a particular style that is kind of low budget, maybe not super original, very tight, it also has a lot of substance to back it up. It has a really good dynamic between your five main characters, regardless of how their performances. I think the dynamics are really well at play there. I think you also have some really interesting stuff that not a lot of movies do, which is the interaction between humans mm-hmm. and zombies. You don't, you know,
they're normally not intelligent.
Yeah. Oh, well, you don't get a lot of movies that are mostly straight up horror. You could throw some smaller subgenres mm-hmm. in there. There's elements of comedy, but the other movies that show like zombie human interactions are straight up like comedies with a horror tinge, like Shaun of the Dead or something like Warm Bodies or something like that, where yeah. you've got actual human-zombie interactions. This has that while still maintaining that antagonistic role between the two. Those two, you know, the forces of the living versus the forces of the dead. Mm-hmm. So I love that that's a play that you don't see a lot, and it is something that is, I think, particularly original, something that does provide a nice dynamic for the film that, while it may plateau in its elements of horror, like Shannon said, does kind of turn it into a little bit of a different film. It turns it into kind of a survival film versus a, you know, a horror of the unknown where, so when it comes down to it, I think the substance backs up the style on The Evil Dead, whereas I think a lot of the style outshines and creates a well-deserved cult status for Suspiria, but it doesn't do enough for me to maybe perhaps be overall a better film than our other two contenders.
Yeah. Phoenix?
My number two is The Evil Dead. And it's a movie that
y'all see where this is going, baby. Yeah,
potentially. Are we going to be 4-for-4 with flipped picks? We'll see. Evil Dead, I love this movie. I'll go to bat for this movie against a bunch of movies that not just on this list, but just in life you're itself.
Pretty diehard about this movie.
I love it a lot. I think it's fantastic, and I think it's my favorite of the franchise, which I suppose is a bit of a hot take, considering some people prefer the campiness.
That hot take. Of Army of Darkness. Really, two movies. It's either one or the other.
Yeah.
It's like an Alien, Aliens.
Yeah.
That's true. Know. You're right.
It's Evil Dead or Army of Darkness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one likes the even numbered entries in the series.
Shout out to the Evil Dead remake, though. It's pretty good. I think when I guess going doing another final like debate or argument.
Is there a new point that you can think of?
Well, I mean, my thing is this. When we look at these two movies,
Bruce Campbell could beat all of you up, and that's it.
He can.
Got a chainsaw and Bruce Campbell. No, I think like
any day.
When I think of all of these movies, not just the two that we've been talking about, I think that the things I love about Suspiria most are the flash, the style, the lighting, the cinematography, mm-hmm. and the score. But when I look at these other movies, I also like their style, their flash, and their cinematography. I think the Suspiria has the best score. I said that last week that I thought it was one of my favorite scores ever made. But if I want to give so many points to Suspiria because it's got these great vibrant colors and these well-framed shots and stuff like that, I feel like I would be discrediting The Evil Dead and Hereditary because I also think those two movies have wonderful style, wonderful color, and wonderful cinematography. Because even something in like The Evil Dead, it's got that sequence when all the blood's dripping and everything turns red, and it's got mm-hmm. the part when it gets on the film reel and it gets really stylized there. Even when they're dying and they're decaying, it's turning blue. Like it's also got its own kind of style and flair to it that I think is both appreciative and fits that kind of movie itself.
Yeah.
It's not worse because the colors aren't as vibrant. It's,
no, yeah.
It sticks to the movie.
No, it's definitely within itself.
So I kind of hold all of the styles pretty similar, though I would give maybe the edge to Suspiria because of its great score. But then after that, I think overall just The Evil Dead is just more solid. I think the plot is simpler. I think the acting is great with the Deadites. I think the costume design of the Deadites is fantastic. I think the voice acting and of the Deadites is great. I love the look of the cabin. I love kind of the progression. I love the gore of it. I love the grittiness of it. It's gross. It's dark. It does have that problematic tree scene, which I'm not going to discredit. That scene has not aged well. But I think overall, like when I just look at those two, I weigh the solidness, the more complete film of The Evil Dead more so than the style of Suspiria, because I also think these other two movies have pretty good style on their own.
Jen?
My second place film was Suspiria, so we are officially at an impasse. We've already made, quite a sizable argument for both of these films. I just, going back to my original thesis of all these movies being really solid and each higher position, just adding a different layer and more quality, whatever that may be. Suspiria, I want to live inside of, you know, I'm more compelled by Susie Banyan's narrative. Mm-hmm. I feel more compelled by the performance that's given there versus all of the solid but fractured performances as a group in The Evil Dead. And I think that there's a variety of spaces being explored in Suspiria. You get the fear of the outside as well as like the grandiosity of like an interior labyrinthine space, which I wouldn't necessarily say is the same thing with Evil Dead. You're just, you know, it's fear operating off of like the immensity of this unknown outdoor horror escape. I'm Suspiria is my number two for a lot of the reasons we've already talked about, but
One of the more decisive factors for me is, I didn't really touch on this that much, was the kind of inherent ambiance of the film. I mean, we've disagreed on this before, but I they're both decidedly campy films. You can't really say one's more campy than the other. But,
and they're both cultish films.
Yeah, they're both cult films. Mm-hmm. But The Evil Dead to me is goofier than Suspiria. Suspiria is not necessarily scary, but I find it more kind of like spooky and creepy overall. Whereas I find most of the stuff in Evil Dead just to be kind of goofy and absurd. So that to me also was more of a decisive factor.
I will say
that's more of an opinion
thing.
The
Suspiria score has progressive rock guitar.
That's true.
Guitar licks. So I don't know if I would say it's not goofier than The Evil Dead, because
Suspiria is in the movie. I mean,
Suspiria
it's not...
plays a lot of goofiness. There's also the room of wires that aren't even barbed in the first place, but that's, you know,
she's like, so she wouldn't actually die.
Yeah, she's like screaming in pain. I mean, though you know, get
there's you can do that with props. Yeah. You can make fake barbed wire, but and then there's also this
not in Italy.
The peacock, the stabbing an invisible piece of air. I don't know. Suspiria's, I think it's for me a lot. I mean,
they've all got B horror elements.
Yeah.
Either way,
yeah,
I think
that to say.
All of this to say, it seems we all have a unanimous winner.
Yep. The Shining.
Honestly, yeah, we're bringing it back.
Season 2 of Sabrina.
I'm okay with it. I'm 100% okay with it.
We're rewriting history. We're fixing it.
No.
All right.
Hereditary, I think, is everyone's number one pick.
Yeah, of course.
For a lot of good reasons.
Let's talk about Hereditary. Well,
just fun little fact to go back. As this is, you know, at a point, a little kind of retrospective on our season, cumulative episode, if you will. This film steadily moved up the ranks, starting with number 5 at Best Monster.
Yeah.
Which I think was probably deserved. I don't feel anything bad about that ranking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best Kills jumping up to number 3 with Scariest Film jumping all the way up to number 1 being the scariest film. And Score being in our top 2 with it being kind of a back and forth on that one. So,
so always in like the positives, those are the top half.
Yeah, it was in the top half of nearly every episode. Yeah. And for good reason. So I think we've definitely sung the praises of this movie throughout the season.
This movie, I mean, I can't personally call it my favorite of these three movies, but it's just so damn good and so well crafted.
It's hard to call it your favorite because it's so unpleasant.
Oh yeah, it's so remarkably unpleasant. But it's because it's unpleasant, because it can instill in you a feeling of unease to this extent that it's truly deserving, I think, of the number one spot. And I mean, we've talked about this before, but to me, its scariest features are not the, you know, evil cult and demon worshippers, even though that's certainly scary. It's the kind of real life fear, like grief and unprocessed grief and guilt, as well as, you know, going into an allergic reaction, anaphylactic shock. Very scary, very real.
Yeah. Losing a loved one while you're in charge of them is a big, like...
There's just a lot of just, like, real-world fear that this movie plays on.
Alongside
the, you know, fantastical elements.
Yeah.
And we were talking... I was kind of ragging on Sam Raimi, though I love Sam Raimi, about... You know, Evil Dead being his first feature and feeling like a student film. Hereditary, also Ari Aster's first film, not really feeling like a student film here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, two very different circumstances and two very different decades. The resources available to Ari Aster were probably much larger than that of Sam Raimi.
Imagine what Sam Raimi could have done if he had Sam Raimi could have done if he had an A24 supporting him.
But it's it's still one of those things worth noting that we have two directorial debuts in our final round. Suspiria also was not that far off. I believe it was Argento's second or third.
Yeah,
third
I believe
film.
He went to the AFI Conservatory.
Strange
thing about the Johnsons, I think, was...
Ari Aster does a fantastic job in both of his features that have come out so far of making horror movies that are about something else. Mm-hmm. This is about the way that, like, the death of a family member lingers.
How grief can destroy a family.
Yeah, how grief can destroy a family, and how the specter of someone can, like, even, you know, we never see the ghost of the grandmother, and there probably isn't a ghost of the grandmother in this movie, but she looms large over the entire film. In the same way that, you know, Midsommar is about a toxic relationship, more so than it is about, you know, a creepy Swedish cult that murders, that, like, kills its elderly and stuff like that, and burns people alive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I earlier mentioned that I would, with Evil Dead, I'd go to bat to almost so many other movies. With this one, I have to put the bat down and switch sides. I think I adore this movie. I think it's maybe in contention of being, like, one of the, like, best movies of the decade. I think it's a modern day masterpiece. I think it's almost like it's almost perfect in every way. Like it gives you, it plays with so many ideas that y'all have talked about, like mixing human trauma with satanic fear and devil worship. I think it's so smartly constructed. I think it looks beautiful. I think it sounds good. I think there's a, like, the production design's great. I think the acting is phenomenal. I wanted this. I don't know. Not remembering exactly what won Best Picture that year, but I wanted this to be nominated. And I was rooting for it to win after, when I first saw it.
I had a hot take tweet that was Toni Collette should have been nominated and then won Best Actress.
There's a lot of things she should have been nominated for.
Yeah, I probably don't disagree with that. She was outstanding.
We talked about this when I tweeted it.
Hers was, I think, the most egregious snub that year.
Yeah, but that's the Academy's horror movies.
If anything deserved a nomination from that film, it was her performance.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
And then cinematography.
And writing, to be honest. Screenplay could have gotten... Yeah.
It's a dense film. There are so many elements that it's like... You can't really unpack it on your first viewing. It almost demands subsequent viewings because it's so dense.
Yeah, and it's like... It gives you so many physical reactions, emotional reactions in the movie. Yeah. It's
very visceral.
Yeah, it's one
for
of...
For not being very gory until
it's one of
the
a kind.
End.
It's not, like, cliche. It's unique. There's so many things to praise about this movie. It's just incredible. I'm actually pretty happy.
The gore it uses is minimal and
it's not
very
blood.
Well
it's
placed.
Not a lot of blood. It's just a lot of
man
like,
burst
striking.
The flames, but
well, I'm
I
saying
it's not gory. It's just
it's unsettling. Yeah. Scary.
It's attacking the body in ways that like we don't really visit a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he's just got a thing against heads, but I think something that's, you know, particularly striking about this film is that Hereditary is going to be doing a lot of work for a long time. I think when we think about the horror landscape within like the larger cinematic environment that we're in right now, I guess maybe particularly in Western cinema, there's always going to be like a before Hereditary and everything that came after it. It really is a touchstone film. And I think, you know,
no, it's Ari Aster's
brought.
It's not touchstone.
Don't you look foolish.
Wow.
I'm glad
darn, but
I wasn't the only one with that bad joke.
LMA.
We were all in that together.
But, I mean, I don't know. Ari Aster's bringing so much clout to this genre, which is... makes me happy.
Yeah.
It really does.
I love, though, that he is going to leave horror now. He said it.
Officially, he's like, I'm done.
He said that...
I think he's doing better now. Someone finally gave him a hug.
His next film will not be a horror movie.
I certainly, certainly hope so.
But like I said, like...
While it does sadden me, I am just excited for anything he does. So I guess I shouldn't be too sad. But
he very much... I think what'll be awesome is whatever he does next will take whatever broader genre and make it about the people in a way that Hereditary did and Midsommar did. I think that's what I love about his films and why I've come back around on Midsommar after initially hating it. Why it has come around to not one of my favorites of the year, but at least I've learned to understand the things that are good about it and why it outweighs my qualms with it. But he is so good at examining the way that people interact and the way that translates into how we interact with the world around us. And so I'm excited to see whether he takes it into a fucking romantic comedy or something, like just as a complete 180.
Or a musical.
I'm not ready for an Ari Aster.
Can you imagine?
But just seeing stuff like seeing his take on some of those, you know.
I'm excited for Wes Anderson's musical. It's his next film. Ugh.
So I'm excited for that. So Hereditary gets a rollicking Hail Payman from us.
Hail Payman.
Yeah. I just got to say, I don't think there's a bad performance in this movie.
I went with you.
From Toni Collette obviously being the standout. But, I mean, And Out is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I also, Phoenix and I both love her from The Leftovers.
Yes.
She's also amazing in Handmaid's Tale. But in this movie in particular, I mean, she's just astonishing.
I mean,
she's so unsettling.
Yeah.
It's
plays the secretly bad
the
friend.
The secretly bad friend.
It's Alex Wolff in this one?
Is it? Yeah. Alex. Nat Wolff is younger in
Nat
the Naked Brothers. right?
No, Alex is the younger naked brother.
Oh, Alex is the younger?
Nat is the older naked brother.
Oh.
But going from the naked brothers band to King Payman himself.
Yeah, he's fantastic in this. The
love it.
Actor that played the dad, whose name I cannot recall at this moment, also very good.
I love
Oh, wait, no, I had it right. Never mind. Never mind. Continue. Continue.
Wait, so, wait.
It's, okay, Alex is the younger one. I had that wrong, but Alex is the brother in Hereditary.
But which one's in the Naked Brothers band?
They're both in the Naked Brothers
band.
They were the Naked Brothers.
They were the Naked Brothers.
Fully clothed. Spoiler.
I know.
Fully clothed. Made by their mother, I think. She was like one of the executive producers.
It is what it is.
But anyway.
We should dive into that show sometime.
I'm super satisfied with this winning. I was rooting for it, to be honest.
Let's talk about, do we have any negatives?
It
What's
scarred
bad?
Me for an entire night.
I will
night.
Say, when I watched it a second time.
Didn't make Drake and Josh as fun later.
I think a certain degree of it is the environment that you watch it. Because I watched it in broad daylight in the middle of the day the second time I watched it. And it was not as compelling, I think. I think part of it, too, is you don't really get as much of the shadow kind of playing if you're watching it in the light than if you watch it in the dark. Which I guess you can kind of knock the film for not being as universally viewable. If
but
that makes sense. But I mean,
watching
most
movie in a theater
movies
is like
are
the best
yeah movies are
movie.
Movies are supposed to be watched in the darkness. So then it's like, well, is it my fault for not doing that? I don't know. I'm just saying it. Some of it too can kind of be, yeah, not necessarily scary as much as just unsettling. Which, if you're talking about it being a horror movie, I mean, it works. But it's also like, is that the intended goal? Just feeling like icky, but not like scared. Like, I'm not scared of this. I'm just like, that's just weird. So just kind of mixed feelings, I guess, but they're all negative. So I don't know. It's still very effective. I'm not saying I'm really just nitpicking here.
Right.
Yeah. Getting that granularity.
It's long, which I mean, I think it's paced pretty well, but it's a long movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much negatives unless we were just like literally breaking down scenes and I had to find like something wrong with it. But on the whole, I think it does everything at least satisfactory, if not superb.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Shane, you have any final thoughts?
No, I do not.
Final thought? Alex Wolff has the better post Naked Brothers band career than his brother Nat.
That's fair enough.
Get shit on Nat. You Nat suck.
Did, didn't want him to
always
like a John
knew
Green
you
movie?
Sucked.
Nat was in both The Fault in Our Stars and then starred in Paper Towns.
That's right, yes.
Whereas, I mean, Alex hasn't been in all winners, but being in My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
He's good
in and
Jumanji.
Hereditary in a 3-year run is pretty good.
I mean, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 is hot garbage. That movie is terrible.
But it's not because of Alex Wolff's performance that it's bad.
No.
No. It's really a number of people's fault, but not his.
Whereas
we should have put that in the
Jumanji
horror movie.
Jumanji and Hereditary
the horror movie
are both better for Alex Wolff being in them.
Sure.
It's
I mean, Hereditary, scary. Certainly.
I think he does a good job.
He's enjoyable in Jumanji.
He's also in Patriot's Day, which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen it either.
And My Friend Dahmer, which I also didn't see.
Also haven't seen that.
Yep, I didn't see that.
Anyway.
That's it for our Naked Brothers podcast.
Hereditary's are Grand Slam, our winner. The other two, runners-ups. Let's call them that.
The Evil Dead.
You know, Evil Dead, and then last but not least, Suspiria.
Yeah. You know?
Lastly, Suspiria.
You know, Suspiria, and then the Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, and then Suspiria.
Yeah, they're runners-ups.
Right.
They're equal footing behind the first place.
But, you know, if you had to rank them, like, it would.
You know, it doesn't matter. You can find me on Twitter, at CA Spilliards, like, spill something in your yard and NNS. I tweet now.
You've been saying that for a couple
does.
Weeks.
I know.
They know
they
now.
Know now, but still I haven't news. Gotten any new followers. That's a lie. I've gotten, like, 3 new followers.
Congrats.
But thank you. But
was one of them me when I refollowed you?
No. I did. I saw a bunch of movies the other day, though I guess now this would have been a week ago when this comes
exactly
out.
Exactly a week ago.
So it would have been a week ago. I saw a bunch of movies, made a thread about him. If you want some more in-depth recommendations,
he doesn't tweet that much. You can probably find it easily.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I haven't tweeted in the last couple of days. Maybe I'll tweet tonight. Who knows?
Don't let him know what night we record.
But yeah, my recommendation this week is going to be, we talked about the last one, maybe? I think so. I don't remember. Bong Joon-ho's Parasite.
No, we talked about it on a different thing.
On a different thing. Yes, we did. This movie is, oh my God. When you hear people talking about how good it is, they're not lying. It's phenomenal. One of my favorite movies of the year. I think I actually have it in my number third favorite movie of the year. It's just so, it's one of those movies that from start to finish, you're like, I simply can't knock this because it's so well made. It's just the performances are on point. The writing and direction is just amazing. It's great. It has some fun with like tonality and a wild story that please don't read anything about it. Try and go in as blind as you can. But oh my God, very, very good. And I was, you know, I've seen Snowpiercer and Okja, which I love Snowpiercer, and I thought Okja was just okay, but I mean, I respected it. It was very stylistically well put together. But this one certainly just is the number one for me. It's so good. It makes me want to go back because a lot of people were talking about, it reminded them of his earlier film, Mother, that he did in early 2000s, I think, or late 90s. It's apparently very reminiscent of that, and so I kind of want to go back and watch that now also. So, yeah, it's another Bong hit.
Boo. Wow. That was a boo to your pun, not to the movie. I haven't seen it. Specifically you, Phoenix. Phoenix, you can find me on Twitter.
Oh, me? Yeah.
At Robbie D. Shazer.
No.
You can find me.
No, it was me.
You can find, you, Phoenix, can find me, Robbie D. Shazer, on Twitter.
I know that.
At Robbie D. Shazer.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Instagram at Robbie underscore.
Oh, you're saying you.
Robbie underscore to Shazer. You know what? I'm going to move to Shannon. Shannon, I'm going to recommend some movies to our listeners now.
You should.
And this movie that I am recommending is, you know what? I'm going to go with my heart here instead of what I saw most recently. Go see Jojo Rabbit. It's so fucking good.
Oh, yes.
Is so fun. Good.
That's my number two movie of the year.
Yeah. I almost recommended a movie I saw yesterday that was very brutal, and I need more time to process my thoughts on it. The Lighthouse. Go see that too, I guess. But if you have to choose,
very good.
If you have to choose a movie to go see Jojo Rabbit. It is the perfect balance of gut-wrenching and gut-busting in the sense that you will laugh and then cry if you're like me and have very intense reactions to movies. A lot of fun. Taika Waititi is a treasure to all of cinema and all of the world. Good performances all around. And great jokes that you can never make out loud in a public place with people that haven't seen the movie because of obvious reasons.
You can make some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one particular.
You can find me at BombSPhoenix on Twitter. Hopefully I tweet things you like. Recently, it's possibly turning into a Yorkie Stan account. So
if I love you wanna, Yorkie.
If you're going to see Jojo Rabbit, join me for all your Yorkie pleasures.
Did we finally land on, were we Jojo and Yorkie?
We're Captain K and Finkel.
K and Finkel.
Can I be Yorkie?
You can be Yorkie.
Yes, you can be Yorkie.
Then who's our Jojo?
You've got the glasses for it.
I do. I kind of looked like Yorkie when I was a kid. But anyways.
It's definitely not a good time to be in.
Since Robbie recommended that, I'm going to recommend another movie. It did not come out recently, but it's on my brain. I've been watching clips of it again. I might rewatch it at some point. I'm going to recommend Green Room, directed by
Green Book,
Jeremy Sommer.
No.
Peter Farrelly.
Not Green Book. Please, no.
Green Room. I've never seen
Blue
it. Green
Ruin. Room
is, Antoine Yelchin.
You actually haven't seen it?
I'm sure, yeah.
It's fantastic.
We should sit down and watch it.
I've heard. I've never watched it.
It's really good. It's not really a horror movie, but I feel like
it's like a thriller.
I feel like it's kind of Halloween,
it's kind of scary
movie. Yeah, there's like, it's just, oh, like Jojo Rabbit, but way, way, way more terrifying because it's like Nazis that'll kill you and it's scary.
It's
and
neo-Nazis.
Bad. Yeah,
neo-Nazis,
yeah.
Which are more terrifying.
You know, the people that looked at Nazis and said, yeah, I want to do that. That's why they're worse.
But it's got a cool...
It is definitely not a good time to be a neo-Nazi.
It's got a cool style. I love the punk aesthetic of it. I mean, if you know me, you know I'll appreciate a lot of that. Anton Yelchin is great in it.
So normcore in real life.
I know, right? For real. But
Patrick Stewart playing very against type.
Yes, but he's so good in it. He plays a
new type.
Very terrifying Nazi.
Are you calling Patrick Stewart a neo-Nazi?
Imogen Poots is great in it.
It's really an old Nazi.
Like well-paced. It's really gory at times. It can be unsettling. But it's an excellent thriller.
I'd love for
him
to come.
It's kind of gotten overlooked. You just guys gonna talk underneath everything.
He's slandering Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart not allowed on this podcast.
Oh wow.
Okay. Over my dead body.
I missed a conversation. I'll hear that.
Carter.
I'm listening yet. Anyways, go see Green Room.
Green Room.
Or rent it.
That's sorry, Phoenix.
Go to your living room to watch it.
Go
to your living room to watch it. Or if it's playing again somewhere, anywhere, ever.
I don't know where it would be playing.
I doubt it, but Shannon, you know, give it a shot.
Yo, 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 everybody. It's me again, closing out this wonderful recommendation list. You can find me on Letterboxd at ZedsDead5. And this week, I'm going to be recommending a film that I did not think I was going to be recommending, just because I've heard kind of mixed reviews about the directorial style of this man in particular. The film I'm recommending is A Hidden Life, which, wow, I unashamedly, unexpectedly loved. It is a film directed by Terrence Malick. From what I understand, you either love his work or you do not like his work at all. So I can definitely understand that this won't be everyone's taste, but from what I understand, and this is my first Terrence Malick film.
Everyone's cup of tea. Terrence Malick.
Yes, but there is more plot and structure to this film. And it's magnificent to watch. And aside from the visual direction, it's wonderfully stunning and circular. It is a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching film that feels like a prayer. It looks
beautiful.
It feels like a prayer. The relationship between the two main characters is there's an intimacy in that film and the way that the camera plays with like their corporeality that I haven't seen before. And this film makes me very excited to dive deeper into Terrence Malick's filmography. But even if you don't like his films in particular, I think this one is worth the watch. It's lengthy, no surprise, but it is peak cinema. I feel confident saying that it's been my favorite part of my festival going experience because I have seen it a little bit early. At the Austin Film Festival. Shout out to the Austin Film Festival. Not to brag, but they do a great job, and it's worth sending some love out to the programmers and the wonderful volunteers there. But when it does come out, which I believe is in November, December, give it a watch. Give it a good critical watch.
I want to see it. All right.
I also want to jump in real quick, and because I forgot to bring this up when I was bringing up my Twitter. I just recently tweeted my favorite TV shows of the decade, my top 20 TV shows of the decade. So that's another reason you may want to follow me. You check that out, see how I rank things. You can yell at me about.
I'm gonna wait till the end of the decade before I post mine.
I'm gonna wait till the end of next decade.
In case there
I'm gonna let some time pass. I'm gonna catch up.
There are some,
you know, a move.
Other shows that come out this year.
You know, I want to shoot my shot.
I finally watched the first season of Succession, and then I'll have an opinion on it.
It's probably a good idea.
It's by not as egregious as when IndieWire put out their top 100 films of the decade in July.
Whoa! Yeah,
you're missing an entire half a year there.
Yeah.
So.
But TV's good. That was this decade. Next decade, we'll get to.
There's still TV left in this decade. So.
It's true, but
yes.
I don't know.
There's a show on Disney Plus coming up that I'm very excited for.
I was too excited. I was too ready. I was like, I'm gonna release.
It's also a show currently airing on HBO that I'd also like to see how it turns out.
Yes.
It could also make it.
We recommended it last week, didn't we?
Yes. The Watchmen.
Watchmen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just Watchmen?
Watchmen. Yes.
Just Watchmen.
It's
not
cleaner.
But Watchmen. Who watches The Watchmen?
Me and Carter.
Yeah. Oh. Well, good for you guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. You can follow the show at Film Fracas on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Any shout outs?
Stay tuned for our bonus episode next week.
Yeah.
That we may or may not record right now really quick.
Yep. So thank you to you guys. Shout out to Taphead. Shout out to all of our friends listening. And if you do anything, don't listen to Kanye's new album. It's bad.
Did you end up watching the movie?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. We know there are a lot of shows on the web, and we are so glad you took the time to listen to ours. Thanks to Carter Stilliards, Phoenix Arola, and Shannon Widener for helping to write and produce each episode. Please consider giving us a 5-star rating wherever it is you listen. It really does help get the word out about the show. You can follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Film Fracas. Once again, thanks for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear our next episode. Media.